Morning. It's good to see you today. Glad that you're here. We about 5 o'clock this morning. It was raining outside, and I thought, oh, a dreary day. But now the sun is, the clouds have opened up, and the sun is shining, and it's a blessed day to be together and to worship God. And we thank Him for His blessings and allow us to be here. Good to have an opportunity of worshiping His holy name. I invite you to get a Bible in just a minute and join us in our study. I want to welcome our visitors. We appreciate that you're here. We hope that you can come back tonight. And as long as you're with us, we hope that we can be of encouragement to you and the things of God. And know that your presence encourages us as well. And we appreciate that. We want to continue to remember a number who are not able to be here in our prayers and our thoughts. And we pray that that soon they'll be able to return. One day it's going to be my turn, and one day it's going to be your turn to leave our families, our friends, our brethren, our acquaintances, our jobs, our homes, and all the things that we have here in this life to keep our appointment with death. It's appointed unto men once to die, the Word of God says. And after this, the judgment. In Psalm 90, and verse 10, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, they're 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Yes, 70 years, 80 years goes by very fast. Our time on earth is reduced in this verse to labor and sorrow. Joys and happiness to be sure, yet understanding and knowing that we are born to die, and every one of us will keep that appointment one day. So we want to study this morning about the day of gathering that is associated with those things that occur after death. Or should we be among the living when Jesus returns? The greatest assembly that's ever occurred, has yet to occur. Imagine it with me for just a moment. Maybe you saw the news. I mentioned this in class this morning, I saw a news piece last night about a telescope that they have now in Arizona that is bringing back pictures of objects, of constellations and galaxies that are 102 million light years away. Imagine the assembly of stars that telescope and the Hubble and others present to us. And yet, in all that enormity and immensity, God has created you and me and put us on this globe and given us an identity, a nature that is in His image, and has said that there will be a time when I'm going to gather every single creature of my creation, of humanity, before me. The billions upon billions will be gathered in one moment, who have ever lived or who are then living before Almighty God. Can we get our minds even around that concept? Can we at least begin to envision the enormity of that gathering? Only faintly. Only as artists would try to feebly depict it, as we have on our overhead this morning. It defies the ultimate description of a finite mind. Because the infinite God is going to bring us all together before Him. What a magnificent day of gathering. And we will be there. We will be there. The Word of God assures us in several ways and speaks from several points of view about that gathering. Look with me, please, at familiar passages this morning. These things are not near those who are familiar with the Bible. If it could be that you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, then you need to be familiar with these things as well. You need to obey the gospel and get ready for this day of gathering. Get ready when you will leave this life, this world, and when you will, as well as everyone else, participate in this day of gathering. Now, for instance, 1 Thessalonians 4 says, I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, concerning Christians who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. Here's a snapshot of what is going to occur to Christians when Jesus returns. We have hope. The world has no hope. Our hope is to be in that gathering as the people of God. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who sleep in Jesus. If you die before Jesus comes back, you're going to fully participate in the events of His return. This we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will in no means, or by no means, precede those who are asleep. Those who have died will come with Him. He said the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. This gathering of saints, as depicted here, is going to be with Jesus at the center. As He comes, as He is revealed, and by His shout of command to death to release its captives, the victory will be accomplished, and God's people will be with the Lord forevermore. Matthew 25, 31 and 32. The gathering is depicted here as all the nations coming before the Son of Man when He comes in His glory. The passage says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. He will come in the magnificent glory and of His reign, of His rule, of His majesty, as King of kings and Lord of lords. And all the nations will be gathered before Him. He'll separate from the one from the other as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Again, in Revelation 20, Brother Seth read for us a moment ago, we have the scene of a great white throne. And in that depiction of the judgment scene, John said, I saw the dead, verse 12, small and great, standing before God. There's the picture. That's what we want to remember. We will be standing before God. And while you might think that you could get lost in a crowd of billions of people, you won't. You won't get lost. I won't get lost in that crowd. So we're going to see some scriptures. It's going to be very personal for every one of us. That's what we want to have on our minds. That's what we want to have before us as we think about this day of gathering. It will be a sudden gathering, according to 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. You know, there's some gatherings we plan for, and certainly we should be planning for this one. But in the planning, there's a schedule that's set out. And, you know, the first illustration that just popped into my mind was the Mariners. Wonder why. Well, anyway, you know, they have a schedule. And you can plan when they're going to play and when they're going to gather and when those thousands, tens of thousands are going to meet down there and at I was about to say Quest Field, that's Seahawks, and Safeco Field for the ball game. Well, now, the difference is that this gathering is, we know it's going to happen, we just don't know when. We're just not sure when. 1 Corinthians 15, you know, there's some people who thought they knew when it was going to happen. Back in 1975, some Jehovah's Witnesses were taught and believed that Jesus was coming, so they gathered up everything and they prepared for the Lord's coming. I hear there's some people in a cave over in Iraq who are thinking the same thing here recently. And you hear about those every so often. But the Bible doesn't teach that. It says it's going to be a sudden gathering. 1 Corinthians 15, the Word of God says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Now, he says it's going to be in a moment. It's going to be when the world is saying peace and safety. We'll see that in just a moment. Now, let's make a contrast here. For the saint, it's going to be on schedule in the sense that we know it's coming and we're prepared for it. We can't give you a time and date because the Lord hasn't given us a time and date, but it's going to be right on schedule because we know it's going to be on God's schedule and we are committed to respecting His schedule and being prepared for His return. That's the point we need to see right now about the saints of God, the people of God who are living holy lives are prepared when the Lord will return. Jesus promised He would return. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. There are many dwelling places in My Father's house, and if it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I come again and will receive you to Myself. And where I am, there you may be also." To meet the Lord in the air and to ever be with the Lord is our comfort, is our living hope. So for the saints, the suddenness of the gathering will, in a sense, be right on schedule. Because we know it's going to happen suddenly. It's not going to take us unaware. We're going to be prepared. Now, the crucial question is, am I prepared? Am I prepared for the Lord to come? Am I ready for the gathering that will occur? In Philippians 3:20, it says, "Our citizenship is in heaven." Now, if I'm enrolled in heaven, if my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's my home, then I'm living for that home, not this home. And so I'm ready, I'm prepared, since the citizenship is in heaven. Look what he says, "From whence we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to His glorious body, according to the working by which He is able to subdue all things to Himself." So by His magnificent power, He will conform us into the glory that awaits His people. Now, while saints are preparing and ready on the Lord's schedule to be taken by Him, the gathering is going to come as a surprise to those in the world, to the sinners. 1 Thessalonians 5, for concerning... You see, I know it's going to be a surprise because if people knew and were committed to understanding the Lord's going to come and He could come any time, then they'd be getting ready. The world's not getting ready. Am I getting ready? Are you getting ready? Look at this. "Concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. When they are saying, 'Peace and safety,' then sudden destruction will come upon them as a labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. You're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as the others do, but let us watch and be sober." Let us watch. Let us be ready. Matthew 24, verses 42 through 44, indicating that we are to be ready and watchful. If a man knew when his house was going to be broken into, he would have stood guard. He'd stand guard. He'd be prepared and ready. But the world is not ready for this sudden return of the Lord and the gathering subsequent to it. For the saints, this gathering will be a gathering unto safety. You see, we read 1 Thessalonians 4 where it says, "And so we will ever be with the Lord." The safety of being with the Lord. How can we describe that effectively? How can we sufficiently say and speak of the security of being with Jesus. We lock our doors at night and think we are secure. We lock our automobiles when we get out of them, and, well, sometimes, and lock our keys inside. They're pretty secure when we do that. But we think we're secure. We use all sorts of locks and think we're secure, but men break in and steal. But you see, now we're talking about a gathering and a time when the gathering will be unto safety and secure, to complete security. And so you'll have no more fear or concern or doubt about being safe and being cared for. Sinners, on the other hand, well, by the way, I overlooked this. My pointer is not working. I'm going to have to grab this one and use it this morning. Jesus said, I'll no wise fail you, neither will I in any wise forsake you. He assures us that here and now. Can we not then imagine when He comes back and receives us to Himself? Complete safety. But the sinner, on the other hand, it will be to destruction. Let there be no doubt. He will come rendering vengeance to those who know not God and to those who obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even destruction, eternal destruction from the presence of the Lord and the glory of His might. God's not going to fool around. If we don't know God, if we don't obey His gospel, we will suffer eternal destruction. Now, are we ready? Are we ready? Pardon me. Let's go on a little bit further. It's going to be a serious gathering. You know, we gather at a baseball game, and it's a fun gathering, and we gather at all sorts of events. Not to say that there are not going to be great joy at this gathering for some. There will be, and we'll note that momentarily, but I want us to see the serious side of this, if we haven't already seen its seriousness. In Romans 14th chapter, verses 11 and 12, it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. See why we're not going to get lost among the billions, or tens of billions, or however many billions there will be. We're not going to get lost. Each one will give account of himself. Each one will confess to God. Look at the confessing to God. When it says, every tongue shall confess to God, is equated with verse 12, give account of himself to God. Now, there are other verses clearly that speak to the idea of the acknowledgement of God, to the praise and glory and adoration of Almighty God. But just as surely as that will occur, there will be an acknowledging unto God of ourselves. For the saint, his life will be reviewed. He'll give an account. He'll give an account. What's that passage? 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Well, let's look at that a little more specifically in Matthew 25 for just a moment. See in verse 34? He says, the king shall say to those on his right hand, this is the Son of Man. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is Jesus. Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the earth, of the world. There's a kingdom prepared for you. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place. Yes, we live in the kingdom today, but we're going to have entrance into the eternal kingdom. 2 Peter 1 and verse 11, when Jesus comes back. The saints will. But look, the life is reviewed. Come and inherit the cause, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me, and I was sick and you visited me, and I was in prison and you called to me. Or you came to me. And the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry fed you, thirsty and give you drink, see you as a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you, or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." God will get specific with our lives, with our treatment of one another, with our conduct in this world. Our life is going to be reviewed in this gathering. We're not going to be able to duck down and hide behind someone else. We're not going to be able to trust our eternal salvation on the conduct of somebody else. Now, if that's true, then why do we think we can get away with it now? Why do we believe the devil's lie that I don't need to be baptized, I'll go to heaven anyway? I don't need to obey His plan of salvation. I don't need to have the character of Christ. We deceive ourselves. We're deceived by sin and Satan. We're going to answer. Our life is going to be reviewed. And for the saints, they're going to say, "Lord, when did that happen?" And He's going to say, "Well, you were doing it to me all along. Don't you see, brother? We're doing it to Jesus all along. How we treat each other is we're doing it to Jesus." And one day we'll stand before Him and we'll answer to Him about that. A serious gathering. For the sinner, similarly, a life reviewed and a life not given to righteous treatment of others, to consideration of service, and consequently not showing those things or doing those things unto Christ. That life being reviewed will be rejected, won't it? Saints will receive a reward. The righteous will go into eternal life, he says in Matthew 25 and 46. These will go away into the righteous into eternal life. The first part of the verse says these goats, the ones on the left side, these will go away into everlasting punishment. These who did not treat the Lord right by not treating people right, godly, righteously, everlasting punishment. See, so the recompense will be received. Let's look at Romans 2. And it shows both of these, both the righteous and the ungodly. Romans, the second chapter, we'll pick up our reading about verse 6 or 5. Actually, 4 even. "Do you despise the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering?" How do you view God's goodness towards you? That God is patient with you. Do you hold that in contempt by not responding and not obeying Him and not putting Him first in your life? Or do you cherish that and value that and thank Him for that and so repent and live godly lives? What do we do? He says, don't you know that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? God wants us to repent. Not defend ourselves in sin. Not defend ourselves in violating His Word. He wants us to repent. Because there's a gathering day and we'll answer to Him. And He doesn't want to see a soul lost. But in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart. Now, do you see the contrast between the heart of God and the impenitent heart? He makes a contrast there. Look at God's heart. He's forbearing. He's good. He's long-suffering. He wants nothing but your salvation. But He says, if we harden our hearts and impenitent, He says, you're treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his works. For the eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. So there's eternal life. That's the reward of the saint at this gathering. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth. Look, the self-seeking have the hardened, impenitent heart. treasuring up the just wrath of God in this day of wrath and the revelation of God's judgment. He says, basically, we're going to do it to ourselves, one or the other. It's going to be about us answering on that day and receiving a recompense, as we'll note here in just a second. So, in light of the serious gathering, in light of the fact that each one of us will have an audience with Almighty God, we will give an account. We will confess. We will acknowledge Him, and we will answer to our deeds. Then it compels us to get ready. It compels us to investigate our hearts and our lives this morning. To examine ourselves to see if I'm in the faith. And if I'm not in the faith, to obey Jesus now. To become a Christian in His way now. His way is not the world's way. His way is the Bible way, by faith to repent, to change my heart about my sin. I don't want to stand before God in this gathering and try to explain sin to my holy God. Do you? Of course not. Of course we don't. But you see, that's before us. If I'm living in sin right now, if I'm violating His will right now, that's what's before me. And I will receive a recompense based upon that, according to my deeds. It's a serious gathering. We need to consider it seriously and ourselves seriously in view of it. And obey His gospel. Become a Christian or get right as God's people. Right now. God's goodness should compel us. But it's also going to be a gathering where separation occurs. And so it is a separating gathering, or put in another way, it's going to be a day of judgment. So that's really what judgment is. There's a decision and a separation. You see that? Alright, we read that already in Matthew 25. To judge is to decide and to separate. Whether you're judging if fruit is fresh or something else that calls upon you to render a judgment, you have a standard you work upon, you make a decision relative to that standard, and then there's a separation that takes place. You take the ripe fruit, you leave the spoiled fruit. A separation takes place. That's what's going to happen on this day of gathering. There's going to be a separation because of a judgment that occurs. Revelation 20 and verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Books were opened. Here is the figure in this vision that represents the record of Almighty God, of God's word and will for His creation, for humanity. Books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And and we see names are written in the book of life, according to verse 15. The dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. There's the standard. And my works will be judged based upon the standard. A decision will be rendered by Almighty God about me, about you. And a separation will occur. The righteous unto eternal life, the wicked to everlasting punishment. That's exactly what Matthew 25 described, wasn't it? He will separate. All nations will come before Him. Jews and Gentiles. All humanity. And He will separate them. As the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. The shepherd doesn't want the goats in there with sheep. He cuts them out. He separates them. God's going to do that in this day of gathering. We're not going to be able to... If I'm a goat, I'm not going to be able to look like a sheep. I'm not going to be able to do that. I'm not going to be able to. Well, I think my battery just gave up. Been working on it all morning. Okay. Look, for the saints. Think about it this way with me for a moment. It's going to be a separation from sin. Think about it. You're going to be separated finally from all of the vestiges, all of the temptations, all of the realities of the sin of this world. In that day of gathering and separation, it'll be a day where we will no longer be surrounded by sin. Just let that soak in for a minute. No longer surrounded by sin and its temptations. The Word says, there shall by no means enter it. That is, the city of God. The eternal home. There will by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What a separation. You see, that's why Peter is able to confidently say, we look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. 2 Peter 3:13. We live in a world on earth where sin and the god of this world holds souls captive. And the ravages of sin are seen every day. We hear it every day in the news. We see it every day on the television and hear about it on the radio and see it on the internet. It's everywhere. We see it at work. We see it at school. It's all everywhere around us. But there's a day coming when we'll be separated from that. God be thanked. He will take us away from that. What a glorious day for the saints. But for the sinners, it will be a separation from all of the love of God. Those who are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into the lake of fire. Now, we thought about it from that respect. You know, we thought about the eternal separation from God. But isn't that, in truth, we're going to be separated from love forever. There's no love in hell. No love. No love for family. No love of a husband or a wife. No love of a God who has created us and sustains us, nurtures us and provides for us. It will be a separation from love totally and completely. Luke 16:26 talks about the man who at his death was in torments. And you see that he's separated from comfort. Of course, he's in anguish and flames. He's separated from his family, his brothers. He says, I have five brothers. I don't want them to come to this place of torment. Interesting. He now has... And of course, this is not the final depiction of hell. We understand that. We're not going to get off into that study today. This is before the day of judgment gathering we're talking about here. But at this point, you see, he expresses love for his brothers. He does. He doesn't want them to come where he is. He doesn't want them to be tormented. But there'll be a day at this gathering now of all mankind, when this separation occurs, there'll be a complete removal of all love from those who fall under the wrath of God. And if you haven't thought about it in those terms, maybe we need to think about it like that. Where heaven is full of the love of God, hell has no drop of love in it, no speck of love. That's the separating that's going to take place on this day of gathering. We'll be all sorrow. We're going to be separated from. What a great occasion. The Holy Spirit has given us such a vivid description, hasn't He? God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The world brings its shares of tears and sorrow and heartache and pain and suffering. For the saints, at this day of gathering, every tear is going to be wiped away. You won't need tear ducts in heaven. No tear ducts. We sing no tears in heaven. No tear ducts either. Won't be working, will they? There are no tears there. Because there's no sin there. Because there's no sorrow there. See? Because there's no pain there. Because there's the love of God there. There's the presence of God. There's the light and truth of God. There's the presence of God there. That's what we'll be separated unto is His people. They'll wipe it all away. Cry now. Rest assured, He says, I make all things new. Everything new. For the sinner, depart from me. No more painful words. Depart from me. I didn't know, I've never known you. Depart from me. Not enter in, but leave me. Leave me now. Leave me forever. Eternal punishment from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power, His might. 2 Thessalonians 1:9. To never see God's glory. Every day we have evidence of His glory. The shining sun and the rain that preceded it today. We see the glory in the newborn child and the face of the aged. We see the glory of God if we'll look. If we'll look for it. Before the sinners in that day of gathering to hear Him say, forever depart. Oh my. What a serious, sobering, sorrowful separation. It will be a gathering where a sentence will be rendered. We already read Romans 2, 6, and 11, but I want to emphasize just a couple of the points made there in this final part of our lesson. He will render to each one according to his deeds, and there is no partiality with God. No partiality, no favored treatment. For the saints, it will be a sentence saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of your master. But for the sinner, it will be unto hell. You know, we got some brethren teaching and have taught and have written, and some picking it up, that there really is no hell. The hell is just, you just cease to exist. That's false doctrine. That's false doctrine. Eternal life, eternal punishment. Matthew 25:46. Hell is just as eternal as heaven. Just as eternal as the happiness, the joy of heaven that the saints enter into, so also is the horror of hell. And so, the call of the gospel is, hear the warning. Hear the warning. We're going to gather. We're going to gather. And we need to hear the gospel's warning and prepare. In Revelation 14, 6 and 7, there was a warning that went out through the gospel to warn the enemies of God and the people of God in the first period after the gospel of the persecuting powers against the people of God of the Roman Empire. God was going to bring and did bring His judgment against them. The gospel went out as a warning. And indeed, God's judgment against Rome is indicative of this final judgment against all sin and error. Look at the announcement. I saw another angel, John said, flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made heaven and the earth, the sea and the springs of water. Those persecuting Christians needed to hear the gospel, needed to repent, because the day of God's judgment had come. And He was going to pour His wrath out, which He most surely did. But you see, all that is to prepare all of mankind for this day we've been talking about. This
last great day of gathering.
It will be a gathering that we need to prepare for. A gathering that is sudden and serious, where a judgment, a separation will occur as the sentence is rendered. Do we know God? Do you know God this morning? Prepare to know God. Because if you don't know God, if you don't obey His gospel, you will be properly punished when Jesus comes back. But God doesn't want to punish you. What parent is there here who enjoys punishing a child? God doesn't want to punish. That's why He's being long-suffering. Not wishing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Obey Him today. Get ready for that day. He is coming. And He will reward you if you will know Him and obey His gospel. Paul said, I'm already being poured out. The time of my departure is come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me at that day. Not to me only, but also to all those who have loved His appearing. Have we loved His appearing, His first appearing? Do we love and anticipate the second appearing when He comes in judgment? When He comes to reward the saints? To gather us all before Him? Get ready for the day. It's going to be our turn soon to leave this world. Are we ready for the judgment day? Are we ready to bring our broken heart, our broken life to Jesus and let Him repair it? Through the power of His blood, through the power of His truth, through the power of His life. Come to Him now. All right, there we stand. We sing.
Please, Christ, your broken heart.